You have 5 minutes. Hi, Lynn. Hi, Louisa.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yay. All right. The magic of rebooting, huh? Hi, Janet. Hi, Anne.
Good morning. Good to see everyone.
Yes, indeed. Lynn, will Rita Marie join us today?
I'm just talking to her.
Oh, good. I think I got the screen share thing down and the PowerPoint thing down now. I had a lesson from Rita Marie, so we should be in good shape today. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
I just sent you back your homework.
Thank you. I realized it's something late, so I appreciate that.
You're fast. Oh, no, it's good. It was perfect timing for me.
Yeah, thank you. Hi, everybody. Hey.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hey.
Depending on where you are, huh?
Exactly.
Yay, Rita Marie's here. What country are you in today, Rita Marie?
Yes, I am in Austin.
Austin country. All right.
I can't get this thing to work, so.
Did you get your run and swim in?
I got a run in, and I got a quick jump dip in the pool to cool off.
All right.
Here.
You can come here and cool off.
That's not the kind of cooling I like. I like to be in the 90s and jump in the water, cool off, and go back. Scott left, and I turned the air conditioner off. It's like every time I walked into the house, I felt this coldness, and I would go outside when it was 95 and go, ah. He left, I turned the AC off.
You have to throw them out from time to time, huh? Hi, Jan. Hi, Taryn.
Hi.
Hi, Dorothy. I can't believe this is our last class today. Ah!
Down by fast.
I know. This has been such a great, amazing group of people and so fun and wonderful. Okay, so we have one more minute. Hi, Lynn. Other Lynn.
Hi.
Lynn Rose. I'm going to have to call you Lynn Rose and Linda Buer.
Yeah, I just say Lynn and Lynn Rose.
Okay. And Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. All you gutsy broads here today. It's been so moving, your work and, you know, the transformations that have gone on, and it's just been so incredibly remarkable and moving. So we got one more minute and then I'm going to launch in. I know we've got, I think we should have everybody here today. Hi, Michelle. I haven't heard from anyone about not making it, so that's a good thing. Hi, Jan.
Hi.
Other Jan.
Other Jan, right. Okay, so it's 11 o'clock, so I want to just kind of get us going by doing some grounding. And so just take a couple deep breaths and kind of rock back and forth on your sit bones for a minute. Maybe tap your feet on the floor or tap your body, breathing. A couple deep breaths. Kind of get yourself landed and feel yourself here. Okay, take a breath, and I want you to look at every little thumbnail of every face on the screen. I want you to see each person who's here today. We're all together in the gang and in our group. I don't see Jeanette here yet. So just take a breath and just notice everyone who's here with us. Take everybody in. See all the beautiful, loving faces and shining faces coming at you. And as you do that, as you look around to see everybody, I want you to feel that you are giving something of yourself to each person, of your open heart, and also receiving that. So as you inhale, you're receiving in, taking in, drinking in from each person that you're looking at. And as you're exhaling, you're giving out your loving support, your presence, your availability to everybody that's in the room with us. So we're really going to give each other our 100% focused support and attention today in our last gathering together. And Lynn, while I'm kind of riffing here, could you maybe text Jeanette and see if she's gotten a glitch or if she's joining us today, if something has come up for her? Thank you for that. Okay, and there's Rosie. Hi, Rosie. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Because we have, you know, our, even though we're all here together today, we still have a shorter session time, right? So we'll have at the most an hour and 15. And I saw your note, Lynn Rose, that you're going to have to dash a little bit early. So please be sure to check out with us. Just butt in wherever we are so you can say your goodbye when you have to leave us, okay? There's Thea and Deborah. Thank you. Yay, you're all here. So I think what I want to do is, because of our time limit, I don't want to do a check-in. I want to save us for kind of a closure check-out time together to save some time. And I want to go to a very quick PowerPoint review in just a minute. Before I do that, I want to just say a couple of things about the process here together. For all of us, it's been quite a journey. I feel very connected to all of you through this process. I think you probably are feeling similar feelings, and also with your small breakout groups that have been very intimate sharings, very deep personal sharings that have happened with all of us. And so I want to acknowledge that. And I also am going to be sending you a survey. You'll receive it shortly after this class, a SurveyMonkey survey, just a brief two. You can answer it in 2 minutes, literally 10 questions in 2 minutes, to kind of give me an idea of what you are looking for next and how we might be able to accommodate that. And I'll talk about that a little bit more at the end of the session today before we go. In our wrap-up today and in our integration today, there's a couple things I want to remind you of. One is that your personality energy pattern is not who you are. It's something that you do when you feel stressed. And it's not something that we get rid of. It's wired into our neurological history. But what we do get is we get way more aware of it, and we get way more free to make choices. So many of my clients and my students come and they say, when am I going to be over this? When am I going to be rid of it? When am I going to be healed from this thing? And in actuality, oh, good, there's Jeanette, yay, and Valerie too, yay. When am I going to be rid of this thing or over this thing? What I prefer is, how are you going to make friends with it? How are you going to get to know it? How are you going to be in a different relationship with your pattern? And that's a more conscious relationship, a more kind relationship with your pattern and with other people's patterns. And that's really more what I would say is our goal in this work, rather than getting over it, but just being in a different relationship with it. And what does happen through this work and through the experiential energetics of the work, which is the kind of magic missing piece that most, that so many therapies, cognitive therapies, don't provide, is that the energetic experience of it does bring about a new neurological configuration. So it's sort of like you can take your neurological system and instead of following one train down the track, you know, you shift the gears and it follows another track. And so we're not so susceptible to the wiring pattern that we've been used to doing. And this takes some conscious effort for some time, but when we do the energetics of it, it breaks the intensity of the pattern that we're so plugged into. So just take a couple deep breaths and really know that where you have conflict in your relationships, where you have challenges, where you feel triggered, where you feel hurt, or where you, you know, where you go into your reactivity, whether you go into silence or withdraw or fear or passive aggressiveness or aggressiveness or on the attack or whatever it is that you do is, you know, it's about the conscious relationship of being in a different conscious relationship with it and also of noticing how others respond to you. And these are the biggest teachers that we can have is if somebody else is responding to us in fear or in clinginess or in invasiveness or whatever it is that they might be doing, and if you can be aware of that, then what's the big cost in giving them what they might need that might be helpful for them? So we also can become more generous in helping to meet other people with what they need, with some of what they need to ease some of the stress that they might be feeling. There's a fine line between doing that and what I would call collusion, colluding with their wounding, not holding them accountable for it. But I want to just name that. It's a little bit of a subtle thing, but it can be really, really useful when we're working with this stuff. Okay, so now Rita Marie gave me a great lesson in how to do this PowerPoint appropriately. So I'm going to hope that I can pull it off here. Let's see if I can. Let me come to this. Okay, yay. All right, I think we did it. Okay, so we're going to do a quick review here through these slides of the rigid pattern. Okay, the purpose of the defense is to shift attention away from our internal experience and onto an external set of rules and standards in order to feel safe, stable, and secure. And this is the goal is to feel safe, stable, and secure. And this is the goal of pretty much all patterns, to find a way to feel safe. This is what we are doing with our pattern. The problem with the pattern is it takes us really out of the present time and takes us, and we're functioning from our history in a reactive mode, and we're distorting the experience of what's realistically present in front of us. And we're operating from an external set of rules and standards. And so you could say it's oftentimes ineffective or unhealthy for the circumstances that are really going on. Being correct, finding what is incorrect, and fixing it is what we used in this pattern in order to feel safe. Okay, what happened between 4 and 7 years, and then there's a reactivation of it in puberty. Our experience of reality was negated or minimized. This is why we went to those external rules, and because performance and values were what I had to do in order to receive any kind of love or approval or acknowledgement or recognition. My very essence was negated, and instead it was about what I could achieve or do or how I performed, how clean my room was for mommy to give me a hug, not on just the essence of my nature. So it's very, very sad, as all of these wounds are. Okay, to get out of pattern is the goal, and we must recognize our authentic essence is more important than its form. More important than what I create is the authentic essence of who I am. That we have to learn how to value our inner experience above what I can perform or prove to the world. And that means softening our belief, our bound up beliefs and structure, our ability to relax into our authentic essential self. And for the people who really have this pattern, this is really scary territory, because to go into my essential self, to go into my authenticity, often can feel messy or uncontrollable, or I'm going to feel sensations or feelings that that I'm not supposed to feel, that are not allowed to feel, and that I have to identify my self-worth for being rather than doing. Okay. The gifts are amazing. They are incredible beauty, of appreciation of beauty, of form and structure. They're great people who can create a system for anything, to solve any problem. They're great at creating systems. They're great at Excel spreadsheets. They're great at structure. They have amazing ability to focus their attention. They have a sense of balance and stability and centeredness. They're always beautiful, beautifully attired oftentimes. They're balanced. They're responsible. They're dependable. They're competent. They have great integrity. They're good secret keepers, and they usually have high morals. So these are wonderful gifts for these people. The request is to get in touch with what I am authentically, truly feeling inside. I need to feel my own core, and that no matter how messy I am, I'm acceptable, and I have this incredible aliveness and spontaneity inside of me that I'm allowed and entitled to have. Right. To be right equals being good, and I must be good. To be wrong means I'm a bad person. Wrong equals bad. And criticism equals caring. So the rigid pattern, those who grew up in rigid pattern probably got a lot of criticism. And for the person who doles out the criticism, in their mind, they're just being caring of somebody else, and they have no idea that their criticism can be very off-putting, can be very detrimental to those around them. My persona is my authentic self, right? So the real wounding of this pattern is that this person, this who's so identified with their rigid persona, she doesn't even know she really feels like this inside much of the time. She's just very identified with this persona. And the same with this man. You know, everything is fine. Hey, it's great. And he might not even know himself that he's really sitting on a boiling pot of withheld anger, buried anger. No negative feelings are allowed. I am not allowed to have these feelings. I am a bad person if I have these feelings. So I cannot even allow myself to acknowledge or notice that I have them. My persona is my authentic self. Okay, so here we have perfect, successful, sexy, or worthless. If I don't have this persona, if I don't identify with this persona, I really am worthless, right? So again, here we are. She does not even know that underneath this persona is this, and same with him. Okay. Adult defensive actions reference the rules. There is only one right way to do something, and that and that's the way I must follow, because if I'm wrong, I'm bad. Okay, so I have to do it right. Order equals safety. Mistakes must be punished, because I was punished when I made a mistake. You are what you do, and that's why there's nothing more tragic for somebody who has this rigid wounding than to fail at something or to do something wrong, because their very self-identification, their very sense of self feels completely worthless, completely threatened if they fail at something. So this is a really tough way to grow up, because in order to grow, we have to fail. And so it's built in. So we're always fighting this deep inner sense of worthlessness that's buried away from us, and only appropriate feelings are acceptable. Our goal is to identify and feel safe to feel my authentic feelings. Remember that for some of us, this might sound really like a no-brainer, but for the rigid pattern person, this is really scary territory. Okay, so feel your real feelings is the goal. Get messy and play. These are some of the steps to get out of this pattern and to trust the perfection in the higher order, and that higher order includes failures, and it includes messiness, and it includes accidents, and includes things that we're not in control of. Okay, so what is my primary pattern? So take a look at this chart for a minute and just see if you had to pick one of these. Am I more creative, flexible, and perceptive and in my wound, ungrounded and in mental confusion? Am I more the sensitive, emotional type that fears confrontation and feels needy? Am I more tolerant, patient, and compassionate but have poor boundaries or feel weak-willed and indecisive? I have a hard time making decisions. Am I big energy and a big leader, natural leader, and controlling, dominating, and aggressive or passive aggressive? Do I have integrity, dependable, and balance, or am I stubborn, righteous, and rigid, right? So these are, of course, our five patterns. This is the leaving pattern. This is the merging pattern. This is the enduring pattern. This is the aggressive, controlling pattern, and this is the rigid pattern. So for myself, I give myself the award-winning merging pattern, recovering merging pattern person. I would put myself here. So you can put in the chat what you might think your primary pattern is. So there are four main steps to get out of pattern. One is to connect to your core. So there's a great little exercise that it's a acupuncture point. It's something that Kessler talks about in this book too. Contact the two points on either side of your navel and then just rub them, massage them, right? About a half an inch put your finger in your navel and then half an inch on either side of your navel. Just rub, rub, rub till you feel a little tenderness. You want to go in, reach in there hard enough till you feel tenderness. And then the other two points are at the collarbone, and do the same thing there. And press in hard enough, right, about an inch or so away from the sternum on either side of the collarbone, just under the collarbone, and rub those four points together at the same time. They're going to probably feel tender. And breathe deeply as you do that. And do that right now as I'm talking to you about it. Breathing deeply and rubbing, you're going to feel tenderness, and just rub, rub, rub. And then step two is, after you feel a little stimulation from those areas, put your hand over your heart chakra as a form of grounding. And you can tap your feet on the floor or rock your heels to your toes back and forth on the floor as you have your hand on your heart chakra. Close your eyes and just breathe and feel your feet and plug into your heart chakra. Just breathing as you do that for a moment. And then feel your edge, which is the edge of this energy bubble. And so if you put your arms out in front of you, like you're hold them out in front of you to arm's length, and just kind of draw a circle around yourself as best you can. And that's the edge of your energy bubble. And this is your personal private energy field. And just feel, this is me. Okay, this is me, and on the outside of that bubble, that is you. This is me, and that is you. And now imagine, as you do this, if you're in pattern, you might feel that there's somebody else or some other beliefs that are not yours that are inside your energy bubble. So I want you just with a hand, reach inside your energy bubble and grab the imaginary energy consciousness of whoever's living in there that isn't yours and put it outside your energy bubble. just give it back to them or give it to God or the universe, or just reach in and grab the thought consciousness that doesn't belong to you and remove it out of your field. And then he has this lovely question, which might be helpful for you. What would this experience be like if I were feeling a little more, and what would be the positive you'd rather feel? A little more, and you fill in the blank, a little more myself, or a little more lighthearted, or a little more happy, or a little more at peace, or a little calmer. And this is a sentence I would really encourage you to use for yourself. What would this experience be like if I were feeling a little more, and you fill in that blank? Okay, so after this session today, you're going to receive the 10 question survey, which will help you to know what you want next and communicate that to me. And also I'm going to offer you to set up a 15-minute strategy session with me, a free strategy session with me, so we can talk about how I might best support you, or a course that might best support you, that are options for you to have. And Lynn, if you could copy that link and put it in the chat, that would be great, because I'm going to come out of this screen share now. Okay.
I kind of need you to go back to that again.
Oh, okay, sure.
Sorry.
Let me do that again. There we are. Okay. Everybody got it?
Not yet.
Okay. So this will be an opportunity for you to schedule a time, and all of you who have an opportunity, go ahead and copy that link down, and then just go ahead and feel free to schedule with me if you'd like even just a little bit more closure with me from this class. I'm happy to give it. It's been just such an honor to work with all of you. I'd like to be able to help bring it to closure that way as well. So questions or comments just about this pattern or getting out of pattern or anything that we've touched on so far, any questions? Yeah, Rita Marie.
My question is there a value to, like, if we see ourselves in multiple patterns, whoops, I just turned myself off. Is there a value to identifying the primary pattern? Because it's just like a label. And if so, is there, like, I don't know, one of these little cool questionnaires that you can fill out and gives you your highest score? I know, there's
my... Yeah. There's that. Now, see, there's the rigid pattern, right?
It's not rigid.
That's one of the gifts, right? So you love to create forms and structures. And it's a great idea, actually, to have like a little quiz. I actually think Stephen Kessler has on his website, author, he has a quiz already where you might want to check that out and take it. So there are ways to help you identify. And I think it is helpful to at least recognize the pattern itself. What I don't think is helpful to label ourselves too stringently, because we're all unique, right?
Yeah.
Just like the way you do your nutritional coaching with people. Everybody should be on their own individualized diet, right? So we are all our own sort of unique mix. But I think it is helpful to recognize that there are common patterns because of the developmental stage that we had to go through and what we were lacking that we're trying to complete as adults in our life. And so there are common denominators because of that that I think can be really helpful. And let me give you a couple of hints about them. So, for example, when you feel you're in reaction, one of the things that I love to do for myself is I ask myself, how old do I feel right now? Is my behavior like that of a needy three-year-old, like, I just want to curl up in a ball and have you pet me, you know? Or is my defense feeling like I'm having a temper tantrum, like a prepubescent or, you know, puberty adolescent temper tantrum? Am I rebelling like your teenage kids rebelled? You know, what am I, what's my reactive behavior? What's the age? And if I can find the age of it, then I can find a pattern pretty easily. If I can find the maturity level that I'm feeling, I can find the pattern. And I also sometimes secretly, I'm revealing secretly, do that with other people too. If they're in a reaction and, you know, clearly they are, if somebody's having a full-blown temper tantrum, I'll ask myself, okay, is this a 3-year-old temper tantrum or a 6-year-old temper tantrum? Because then it'll tell me what they need. Like maybe what they need right now is just to feel safe and have a safe space and held. Or maybe what they need is a really strong boundary. Like, you know what? That's not okay to do that. You know, so it's going to inform me of the most supportive response that I can give to myself and to the other person when they're in a pattern like that. So that was a great question. So thank you for bringing that out. Other questions?
Could you put the slide back up that has the link?
Yes.
When I click on it and others were having the same experience, it didn't go through. Huh. So I just wonder want to make why. Sure I did it right. Oh, I did put the dot. That's what it is. I didn't put the dot after my time trade.
Okay, great.
Okay, hold on.
Oh, you need it. Okay, I'll come back.
Make sure I got the rest of it.
I'm just masterful at this now that I
have. Hey, yeah, you're just in that flow. Okay. Okay, we're good.
Got it?
Thank you.
Okay, good. All right. Okay, so remember that our primary goal is to get out of pattern, and that when you are in a reactive pattern, your choices are being dictated by your past and not by what's happening in present time. And your options are much healthier and much better if you can get yourself into present time as quickly as possible. So I would encourage you, if you can, even take like a bathroom break. And if you're with a group of people, you say, yeah, excuse me, I've got to run to the bathroom, and just go to the bathroom. Nobody can say, oh, not allowed to go to the bathroom, right? Nobody's going to stop you from that. But that gives you 2 minutes to go and regroup and recenter, knowing that you're in pattern, and just take a couple of steps, action steps, to get out of pattern. Okay, so any other last questions before we go into a little breakout sharing? Yeah, Janine.
So I'm wondering if there is a way that you're able to maintain a heart connection with others while still protecting your boundaries, or how you go about doing that, especially when it's a member of like a different gender, you know, that you want to keep that boundary, you know, but yet you want to be able to connect with them, or need to connect with them, maybe for some reason, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what you just described is actually a lifelong practice. You know, I mean, you know, it's a work in process, right? A work in progress. We are all a work in progress to do that. I mean, and that's true mastery. I'm still working on that myself. You know, like, how do I maintain connection when I am, you know, feeling defensive? But just the fact that I can be aware of it, like, okay, I'm having a reaction, I'm in defense or they're in defense, but I want to maintain a heart connection. Just the fact that you could even name that as a goal for yourself, you're already halfway there, you know, and it'll be shaky, you know, like we learned how to walk, you know, you fell down a lot, right? When you're learning how to drive a stick shift, it's jerky for a while. That's okay. And, you know, and it's, I mean, I still get triggered by people, and I still find myself getting scared and getting, you know, but I've, what I could say to you is that I'm more used to the fear, and I've learned how to make a beeline toward the fear. It doesn't mean I don't feel the fear. It doesn't mean I don't, it doesn't mean I'm not resistant to it, but I make myself do it, and I'm more used to it, so it's easier. But when I first started out in this, it was terrifying. But I had to, but I forced myself to do it anyway. And the more I work with the energetics of it, the more I worked with my healers and kind of unwound that core existential terror that was in me, the less grab it had over me. So then it was just like developing a new habit. You know, it's like any really bad habit, like say smoking, for example. It's such a hard one for people to quit smoking. But when you get to the core wounding of the emotional, you know, of the emotional glitch behind it, it's so much easier to give it up, because that core, you're not fighting that core existential terror that lived at the root of it. So that's just an example. The same could be with any addiction, right? Overeating or anything. Once you get to the core energetic cyst is what John Upledger called it, an energy cyst, or Barbara Brennan called it the psychic time conglomerate. When you get to the core energetics of it and then that dissipates, then it's so much easier. That's why positive affirmations, wonderful and important as they are, they don't always work, because you're rubbing up against that subconscious energy template that's still very strongly patterned in there. Okay, so I'm concerned about, one more. Rita Marie, go ahead.
Following up with kind of like Janine's question is, so we have this group here and we've all had this education. And when we're having an interaction with someone who's in the group and we're recognizing them in pattern, is it better to just make believe they don't know what we're this stuff and just try to acknowledge, recognize the pattern and give them what they're needing, or gently say, I see you're in the rigid pattern right now, or your rigid is coming out right. You know what I'm saying? Is it not okay to do that? Like, could it be hurtful to do that?
It could be hurtful to do that. And I think, I think it's most helpful to, it's so interesting. There's so many levels upon which I could respond to your question, because for somebody who is in the more controlling or rigid pattern, they might respond really well to saying, hey, can I give you some feedback? It feels to me like you're blah, blah, blah. But if they're in the earlier pattern, they're going to feel devastated by that kind of feedback, by that kind of direct hitting them on the head with it. Right. Mm. Some people are going to love that. Oh my God, thank you. That was so helpful. Right.
Yeah.
But others are going to be really have a very, very strong reaction. So what's most empowering is when somebody can, and this is all what we're going to talk about and learn in Module 6, actually, is when somebody can find for themselves who and what they are doing in their own pattern, see it for themselves. It's always more empowering than if somebody else tells you what they think you are doing. When we make our own internal self-discovery. Mm-hmm. And that's what we'll be doing in Module 6. And for those of you who are not going on in Module 6, actually I want you to know that Module 7, for those of you who have a practice already and are seeing clients, and if you can't come to Module 6, know that Module 7 is an option for you. You do not have to have had Module 6. Of course, it will be enormously helpful and incredibly invaluable to have that art of inquiry that you're going to learn in Module 6. But if you aren't and you want supervision for your tough cases, then you can take Module 7, which is coming up also. And there will be some other options I can talk to you about too, which we'll figure out after we do the strategy sessions and the survey. Okay, so let's break into our small groups. So it's 11:35. I'd like to just take about 15 minutes. It's not a lot of time, so that we can come back together as a big group and have time for closure. And so that we can do our closing with our small breakout group. So Lynn, thank you for going ahead and putting us in groups.
Mm-hmm.